Shabbos is a Makar Abrocha.
So your day, until your Rebbe Shimon Kaplan.
The whole week. Until Tuesday, we still have to speak about the Yomim from the last week's Pasha. We all know that Vnei Korach Lo Yimesu. When we think about what took place, the earth opened up. Apidat HaTav was impossible for anyone to survive from the miracle of the earth opening up. So Pasuk in Tehillim, they didn't verbally do tshuva, they just thought of tshuva, and they were nitzal. Nitzal in a miraculous way, nes b'tech nes. 3 weeks ago, there was a story that fascinated the world. Indian Airlines plane took off from India, and two, three minutes into the flight, the airplane lost height and crashed into a building. And the greatest peril was, which took everybody, made everybody fascinated, something happened unbelievable, that one person survived the flight. It's not clear exactly how it's possible. Many people saw video footage of the crash. The whole place turned into a ball of flame. It seemed impossible that anyone could survive that inferno and that crash. And one person survived. Of course, everyone heard about this. And of course, there's a message for us. Shmuel sends messages to Klal Yisrael, to the Umos Oilom, Kiyodua, the famous letter of Chofetz Chaim, basically a Rashi on our Torah. Whatever happens in the world is a message for Klal Yisrael, something to take note of. You think about it for a moment, it's quite obvious to us that person was supposed to survive, and everyone else was supposed to die. Shem Zabal Oyebach, Zechon Yerocha, said, planes fallen, mention fallen. Planes don't fall, people die. People fall. Like a joker once read, the person had a dream that he was going to die by drowning. So he's very careful after that not to go on a boat, ship, not to go anywhere near a body of water. Having a bath, only showers, place. Very, very careful, 20 years. For 20 years, he had to go on a ferry. It was impossible for him to get to a place he had to go to. He gets to the ferry starts moving away from the pier. A few minutes into the trip, the ferry starts capsizing. And he says, okay, God, you got me. Obviously, you're in control more than I am. Then he said to God, but one second, what about the 2,000 people on this boat? Why do they have to suffer because of me? He says, it's taken 20 years to get all the people together that had that dream on the same boat. It might be a joke, but the reality is, it's a matzias. Every person on that plane was supposed to die, and one person is supposed to survive. But my question is, there's so many ways Akshua could have made him survive. He could have survived that plane crash by missing the flight, or denied boarding, that happens quite often. There's so many other ways, simple ways, the person could have missed that flight. Akshua wanted to send us a message. In a plane traveling 360 miles an hour, crashed into a building, if one person not destined to die is going to survive with almost no injuries. Shmuel sends a very clear message. Yeah, the silly goyim are booking seat 11A, thinking it's some sort of muzzle, paying extra for 11A. If you look on the EasyJet flight, 11A has become a very expensive seat. But we know it's nothing to do with a seat. That person is supposed to survive. And I think this happened a few weeks ago. I don't know if it's exactly before the Iran war, or just when it started, but I think it's a very clear message to us. From the Rabbeinu Shalom, a war's about to start, or in the midst of a war, every single person's survival, or chashon, not survival, is predetermined, nothing to do with Iran. The person's been predestined from Rosh Hashanah, whether to live or not to live. And we see so clearly such gewaltige nissim that took place. There's always an element, I want to speak about it soon, of Koich Beitzim Yodi, the intelligence, the Mossad, the clever, preemptively attacking them, and we get a little bit carried away with the Koich Veitzim Yodi. One thing's clear, the miracles that took place, that's nothing to do with anybody's intelligence, any chokhma. The hospital in Be'er Sheva, which was evacuated literally a day beforehand because of structural reasons, we can't even imagine what would have been had it not been evacuated. That's nothing short of a gewaltig hashkocha process, a miracle, hashkocha from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Someone told me in Shabbos, he's got a mishpacha who lives near that school that had a direct hit from the missile, which was obviously empty at the time because it was at night, so the schools had closed. But he told me an interesting thing. He said the miklat of that school, you know, miklat is, I remember when I first went to Israel as a 15-year-old, and I saw always the word miklat in all the buildings, I thought it was a kiyum of the posuk, toch lecha derech. You have to write the way to the Ori Miklot. I didn't have a question to Zeichet to that Tochel Chadera, that mitzvah. I remember I came to Etzrol then, Al-Tzbocha, I heard a new name, Makolet. So I thought actually it's Makolet. When I started looking for Makolet at the bottom of the building, I couldn't find one. So finally all the Makolets had closed down. And then suddenly it struck me that it doesn't mean Ori Miklot, it's Makolet, it means Miklot, it means a bomb shelter. Right? Those don't it's a bomb shelter. Anyhow, so this school had a very modern bomb shelter, a very new one, and the manal of the school gave one of the residents in the neighbouring block a key to the bomb shelter. When the siren goes on, they can gather into that bomb shelter. They did it for a few days running. It came one day, and the person who had the key had gone away and never given anybody else the key. He forgot to give somebody else the key. So they came to that bomb shelter. Somebody told us in town, somebody lives in Mamish there. And they came to the bomb shelter, couldn't get in. So the siren was going, so they ran to their own bomb shelters, which weren't as sophisticated as this bomb shelter. But a bomb shelter can't sustain a direct hit. And this school received a direct hit. Mamish Nissen Leflois. You see Mamish Klo. And that's the message from the Indian Airlines. Achbohu's got a Gavaldia, he's got a Cheshm exactly. Mi Yichim, Mi Yomus, Mi Ba'esh, Mi Ba'maim. It's all been predetermined long before this Iran war started. And we've heard so many more Nissen the whole time that took place in those 12 days. Hafla of a fella. But we still, so we know there's a Rabbeinu Shalom, we see the Rabbeinu Shalom, but the mistake we still might make is of a fault. They ran a good campaign, precision bombing, they got rid of all the senior leadership of this crazy country. I like that cartoon which somebody showed me, I'm sure you all saw it, where this Ali Khamenei, his name is Yonach Shemai, comes to his cabinet meeting and says, where's everybody gone? I mean, that's literally what happened. It's not what happened. The Chos Chaim writes that Ba'achres HaYomim, before Mashiach comes, things that took years or months to happen would happen in days. The Chos Chaim said that, it's written in Ixos HaMashiach, it's in English, in Epoch of the Messiah. Rabbi Chana Vassman wrote it out, that at Ba'achres HaYomim what's going to happen in days would normally take in years to happen. And this is also true as he writes for, then he didn't know about technology, but he writes about the gilui of the koiches in the Bria, which in the last 20 years, that last 3 years, 3 or 4 years, that advance in technology, that advance that's taken place, you know, in 1,000 years such advance didn't take place. As Chofetz Chaim writes, that's going to happen Ba'achres HaYomim. But he writes as well also that natural, the things that are normally looked at as natural also going to happen at a much quicker pace. It's really, if you think about what took place in those 12 days, you're living through miraculous times. You think how Trump had said consistently he's not getting involved, and why should he get involved? I mean, Iran's not really a threat to America like it is to Israel. And suddenly, they get so involved, basically taking care of our business. Of course, their excuse is that it affects the whole world, it's a terrorist, a state that sponsors terrorism. But still, suddenly he changes his mind. And Emerson, he is a person, President Trump, who's Ayyema Makach, like Mohan Makach, he changes one second to the next. Whatever comes to his head, that's what he does. And suddenly he changed his mind. He came in using the equipment, highest level of equipment, bombs which no one else in the world possesses that can burrow into the ground and cause explosions deep, deep underground, which was needed to get to the nuclear reactors. And the pshat is very simple. We should have no sophic in our minds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to find favor in his eyes. Chazal say, and it's a possible grave sorm of Lachem Biad Hashem. That means, when Trump woke up one morning, he said, let's go get him. That's probably the words he used. Let's get Iran. Akshmogu planted in his brain that decision, that thought, is straight from the Rebbeinu Shleilom. Maybe to be mustered the nest, to hide the nest, he Akshmogu put in place a present which Taka, a little bit crazy. You know, one day Azoy, next day Azoy. He just doesn't even, you see when he gives a drosh, he doesn't even read from notes. He just blurts out whatever he's thinking, yeah? That's some type of sugar, yeah, to put it mildly. They say, what's the chilek between an eccentric and odd? $1 billion. You have that. Right? Yeah, he won't be a billionaire, but a bit of sugar. Yeah, and I suppose we'll put him in places which makes no sense. They couldn't find somebody clever in America to run this huge country. He's there because Akshmoch wanted to be there, and therefore to be master the nest, because he's unpredictable. Akshmoch put it in his mind, and that is the way we're supposed to look at it. Iran is a massive, powerful country. Everything happens so suddenly. We're mechazik ourselves. It's a Rabbeinu Shalom. And we're reading newspapers and the magazines, all Hevel Avolim, all Kech V'Yishmiyodi, and it's all not the way we're supposed to look at it. We say in Kishnevona, I can't touch you. I can't touch the moon. The people who ask Akasha, they've been to the moon. So what's the Ein Yochel in Goyabach? What does that mean? The Ma'ase says they can't touch the moon. What's the Pshat? What's the Pshat? Shotzerov gizot ha'moedek Pshat. They didn't go to the moon. They didn't leave the earth and go to the moon. They went in the earth to the moon. The spaceship that cost tens of millions of dollars, even in those times, had a heating system that kept them the right body temperature, oxygen that enabled them to breathe. They were pressure suits to keep the right pressure on Earth. They went to the moon? No, they took a piece of Earth and surrounded themselves with a piece of Earth. They went, without, they went, that's not called Jochel and Goyabach. They never actually touched the moon. When they came back with the pieces, they could touch them. But they never actually touched the moon. They were surrounded with such an expensive spacesuit. They took a piece of Earth and went to the moon. Ein Yochel in Goyabach means I can't go away from Earth and reach the moon. Lots of the shots are off. And I'm allowed to say the same thing here as well. Netanyahu, so proud of the Gewaldige victory. The Maisa, without the United States of America, I'm not sure how much he could have achieved and how long this war would have dragged on for. And besides that, the shipments of arms are coming continuously into Eretz Yisrael from America and some other places in the world. So I gather from we won. Same thing in Jochen and Goyabach. From the ganze Welt, from America, that's how Al Piderach HaTeva they were able to claim this victory. And about the Gemara says, Tavi Lashakia, when a person pours you a cup of wine, you're supposed to thank the person who pours the wine. And as Mephoshim explained, Avada, the main thanks goes to the owner of the wine, but you've got to thank the person who pours the wine as well. Tavya Lashakya, thank the person who poured it. And the same thing here as well. The owner of the wine, it's all the Rabbeinu Shleilom. We've got to really constantly work on this, especially in today's day and age, when we're so influenced by media and things we read. It's coming from the Rabbeinu Shleilom. Avada, Tavya Lashakya, we're going to give a thanks to Trump, yeah, the Maisa through him, Vinishvi, and we're meant to give Tavi Lashakya. Spoke to the message for 12 days. We're going to take a message. Spoke was sending us messages the last few years. Kol day di dayfek. Pischri achoysi rayosi. Suddenly Mashiach will come. We'll say, oh, we didn't expect it to come so suddenly. It wasn't so suddenly. I sent you so many messages. Shon Shadron, after the 6-day war, he went to the Koisel. There were hundreds and hundreds of soldiers there coming to thank Rabbeinu for their own miraculous miracles and the whole miracle that took place in the 6-day war. And he saw one soldier standing by himself. He looked completely secular. It's very clear on his face that he didn't understand. Or he was crying away. So Shon went over to him. Shon was brought in the safe. And he asked him, why are you crying? What are you crying for? The soldier said to him, I'm crying because I don't know why everybody else is crying. I'm so bothered. The fact I don't know why everybody's crying. It's bothering me. Where am I? What am I? Everybody's crying. I don't know why they're crying. It's making me cry as well. Yeah, so we shouldn't be that, like that soldier. Right, we have to have a gewaldiger akora of what took place the last few weeks. Yeah, that's Chedek Aleph. I want to speak, well, not on the Kudah. I was looking at current events, and this is also about some current events. So I'm going to get Kasha had on last week's Pasha, almost a year after year, and I never really found an answer until a few years ago, someone told me a Chasam Sefer. Korach is fighting with Moshe Rabbeinu, arguing with him. In Pasuk states that Moshe said to him, "Im kamois kol adam imus neile." If you die a natural death, then you're right. Oops. If you die a natural death, if you die a natural death, okay. If you die a natural death, then you're right. In Bria Yivar Hashem, if the earth opens up its mouth and a completely new way of dying, then I am right. Now, I always understood in Kamois Kolod Mimus Neil, if you die a natural death, meaning when it comes your time, please, after 100 years, 120 years, when you die a natural death, then you're right. So that's a schwer question. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to say this? If you don't die, then you're right. If you die in a natural way, then I'm right. What's in Kamois Kolod Mimus Neil? It's not the Chasam Sefer. Better looking it up. Stop putting. There's two different types of Chasam Sefers. It's one of the sets. Chasam Sefer comes out, new things every year. It's unbelievable. It's like he's still alive. You know, they're always finding Ksav Yods and letters. Unreal. And they notice this Ksav. Yeah, Chasam Sefer's mamish. Being Chadish Torah continuously. Chasam Sefer says, a paladig of Pshat. Chasam Sefer says Pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu was Chaylik of the Manik. Korach was Chaylik of the Manik. Korach argued with the Manik. When Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to them, Manoshech, you're going to die. If you're Chaylik of the Manik, you're going to die. Even if you're 100% right, if you die a natural death tonight, then you're right. You're going to die tonight. If you die an unnatural death by the earth swallowing you up, then that's the right, I'm right. The Chasam Sefer, a person's Chaylik of the Manik, Manoshech is going to die. And that's Poshpah and the Pasuk. In Kamois Kolod Mimus Neil, if you die a natural death, then you're right. But you're still going to die. Pemphis is a free, and Mephurish is a free. Which, even if a person is Chaylik in the Manik and he's 100% right, he's doing the wrong thing. On the Pasuk, Afil Oymeloch Leisosu Min Adova Sheigidlucha Yemin Esmoel, Rashi says from the Sifri, Afil Oymeloch Al Yemin Shu Smol, the Smol Shu Yemin. Even the Chacham tells you the wrong way around, which is right and which is left, you mustn't deviate from what he's saying. And the Rabban writes, Shafilu Shiyadeh Bebirur, even if you know 100% that they're making a mistake, I feel like I go after them. Go after them. I mean, some of you, we get surprised. Yes, as they state. The Rabban knows up Pshat in the Sifri, you got here, Chasam Sefer Pshat, in the Pesukim of Parashas Korach, and Memes and the Marbakim and Nisar, vast and endless. Even if the God is definitely making a mistake, you must follow him blindly. That's the Ashkof of the Torah, Chinuch writes out, Barichas Godel. And many years ago I asked Adam Choshev, that very often you feel that the Gedolim are surrounded by people that have their own agenda, sometimes, or got their own agias, and the information that God is getting is from people that are feeding the information, they're not necessarily getting the real information. So you question, 1 second, the Godel said his Das Torah based on what people are telling him. So why should I follow it? He's not reading the paper or doesn't know the news firsthand. He's just been fed information. So what's the reason why I need to follow him? I asked this question to somebody. He showed me an interesting gon in Mishli. Perek Tezayin Pasuk Yud. It's a Pasuk there, Kesem with a Kuf, not a Chof. Kesem Beyad Al Tzvas Melech. A Kesem on the lips of a Melech, B'mishpat L'yom Al-Piv. What do those words of that Pasuk mean? So the God writes, Hadibu Shel Melech. The words of a king, K'moy Kesem. Kesem is Kishuf, K'somim. It's magic. The words of a king, b'mishpat lo yimol piv. It's magic on the lips of a Melech, she mishpot emes, and zeh mishpot yimal piv. And the Gaon says, man malke rabbonim, the same piece of Gaon there, Perek Design. He writes, it makes no difference what information the godless fed. The mishpot yimal piv, if it's a godl, which a big segment of class will follow him, he knows what he's talking about, and one doesn't have to question him or can follow him blindly. The Medrash in Dvorim, which compares following a godel blindly, is like an argument the tail had with the head of a snake. Why who's leading the way? Why can't I lead the way? The Medrash says, the head said, okay, you lead the way. So the snake was being led by the tail. It fell into water, then to fire, then to kuitzim. Says the Medrash, karka shaktanim nishmonu gdoilim. When Ketanim listen to Gdoilim, Heim Goyim Lifnei Amokim, they say to Akshboru, Vu Oysa. So even if the misinformation, Akshboru does according to what they said. Shasha Gdoilim Hoichanach Ketanim, that's going to be disastrous. When the Nazis were advancing through Europe, they came to Kamenitz, and it looked like in the next 24 hours they're going to encircle and take over Kamenitz. And they asked the Baruch Bear, what should they do? Should they escape to Brisk? There's still a chance to escape to Brisk, which was 40 kilometers away. It would take them a few days to reach Brisk. Should they go to Brisk? It's safer there. The Baruch Bear thought and said, no, remain in Kamenitz. Everybody was surprised. But Kamenitz is the first town which is going to be overrun by the Nazis. 11 days, the Nazis didn't enter Kamenitz and overran Brisk a few days before they overran Kamenitz. And those who didn't listen to the Baruch Bear got in trouble before the Eden in Kamenitz. The Baruch Bear said, remain in Kamenitz. The Nazis couldn't touch Kamenitz before Brisk was overrun. A vote for the Adam Godel. But as to follow, it's an interesting related story, more like our parents. Rabbi Yitzchok David Grossman, is that his name, the Rav Magdalimik? He was once offered to become chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael 25 years ago. And many Gedolim wanted him to take the position because, you know, he was of the right Hashkofa and it would be good for Eretz Yisrael if he would take that position. He went to ask his father. His father said, no, don't take it. People said there's political reasons. His father did the Mesh Orim, and therefore had views that were not gross. Bechlal, the statement more, even the fee, those Gedolim said we have to try and get in there to do what we can for our benefit. Anyhow, so he wouldn't take the position. About 15 years, 20 years after that, again, the position became vacant, and again he was offered that position. At the time he wasn't sure what to do, because his father had said no, but his father wasn't alive anymore. Maybe today's different, maybe it's different circumstances. But Yashiv and many Gedolim again encouraged him to take the position. But he told them that my father said no 20 years ago, what should I do? So he told him to ask the Poisek Gadol. She asked him Shmuel Vosner. So he wanted to get in contact with Shmuel Vosner. Shmuel Vosner was in Vienna at the time, in Austria. So he thought he'd fly out to Austria to ask him, discuss with him. So he phoned through to where Shmuel Vosner was staying, and they put him through to Shmuel Vosner. He said, I would like to fly out to ask your Shaila. So Shmuel Vosner said to him, why should you fly out to Tichup you? Just ask me and speak over the phone. We can discuss over the phone. So he told him the Shaila. Shmuel Vosner said, if your father said no a few years ago, don't do it. That's right. So he told the relevant parties in Eretz Yisrael that he's not taking this position. And a day later, various members of the press want to interview him about him giving up a position which seemingly everybody would want to have. And they came to interview and asked him why he wouldn't take the position. They wanted to make some politics out of it. He said, because my father said no 20 years ago. And I asked, Shmuel Vosner, and said, my father's psak still applies. So they asked him, and why did your father say no? He said, I don't know. You didn't ask him? He said, didn't you ask him? The father says no is no. We've come a long way from that nowadays. If a father says no, it's no. If a father says no, no, I didn't ask him. I mean, somebody who is living in our generation on that level of kibbutz av, I didn't ask him why, because it's not relevant why. Just no is no. Like the Gemara Kedushin says, the Gemara had a difficulty how a certain Kedushin took place. The Gemara suggests maybe the son asked the father to be Mekadosh on his behalf as a Shliach. The father can be a Shliach to Mekadosh on behalf of the son. So the Gemara says it can't be that pshat, because the Chotz of Inish, a child would never go and ask his father to do something for him. Yeah, really gone far from that. Right, so people become slaves to the children. Take me here, take me there, pick up this. Right, you've got a whole list of things we're going to do. But in the Zman HaGemara by Rishon David Grossman, the Musag of Azah covered that you don't even ask a father to do something. Okay, maybe now this talk a bit different, I know, I'm not sure, you know, but just a Musag of the Spatlus. We speak of Spatlus to Gedolim. A complete Spatlus. James and David, he lives in Yerushalayim. Actually, I know him personally. I used to sit near him in Mir Yeshiva. He's a son-in-law of Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner. Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner came to Shalaim. He stayed by him in Srotskin, Unstov. And Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner said, let's go visit Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz. So they got in the taxi and went to the Mir Yeshiva. Then in the Mir Yeshiva, all the families lived in the actual building. And they by Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz for half an hour. They spoke in learning and they discussed the Shkofa. And then he left. As he left the dira of Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, Rabbi David says, Esh Agav, we're here ready, let's go visit Rav Nochum. So Rav Nochum said no. He took a taxi back to Sorotskin, and then he got out the taxi, paid the taxi, and then hailed another taxi and went back to Mir to visit Rav Nochum. Hatikazov Sibyanis David, you don't go visit Rav Nochum Agav. As I got Ladoya, Grace Rosh Shiva, if I want to visit Rav Nochum, it's going to be a separate trip. Psalm, and Rav Nochum himself was an Odin God Ramoid. It's half of a fella. How they respected Gedolim, how the Wisconsin is spotless. The Chinuch writes, Chinuch Zerushin, he writes, "Chol Gol V'Doyer Gam Kein Shnishma L'Chom Manim Tzoyim." We shouldn't think nowadays our Rabbonim and our Manhigim are not on the level of previous generations. The Chinuch writes very, very clearly that it's the Rabbonim and the Manhigim which are in place at every generation, which one needs a Gevaldig Abittel to them. Yeah, so many famous stories from Fine, because of the Meisah, with the Pchastel, the Biruchim, and the Bochum in Shanghai, and Mir, they went with Vatlov to the Pchastel. He's got a whole, he finds the whole story exactly. It doesn't matter. They weren't the spark themselves. It didn't go well for them. It's got to be a tremendous battle. And that's the Moiti Chazan Sefer, which the first time I saw that, the person told me, I had to have a look at that. I couldn't believe it. It's so fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, it makes them as you're right or wrong. You're over. The story's over. There are enough communities to know what's right and wrong. We'll grab to find out. We'll see how your end comes about. That's the Gewaldige Chizuk in Bittel to Das Torah to Gedolei Yisrael. And this Gaon of Mishli, which was so important to me to know this, because, you know, often, like Machzavek, where he doesn't know all the information, it makes enough Gemina. The God Adoyer, Kesemal Svasmelech, had a, I've got a cousin in Lakewood, and he was here once for a mitzvah, and he told me he came back, he went to Etzron, came here, he went to Shimon Galai, and he asked him, his sister was making a bris the next day, and she had six grandfathers and great grandfathers options who to call him after. So he wrote down on the paper six names, and he asked Shimon Galai which name he should choose. He told me as much 2 days, it was Tuesday, it was Thursday evening here in Velos Hall. So the guy says, Der Zeder. I see a lot of Messias Nefesh. So my cousin knew that this grandfather was most Nefesh in the war for Yiddishkeit and for mitzvahs, even in the camps, in the concentration camps. His mum has tried every day to do mitzvahs and keep Torah as best as he could. So my cousin said, I was so shocked that Shem Gadai had six names in front of him, pointed to one of them, and he said, Chzei Messias Nefesh. He said he couldn't control himself. He has charot. He said, but how do you know? He said, it's just six names on the paper. So Shimon, he said, he couldn't control himself. He said, Valech Veis, Kesem al Svas Melech. It's magic on Svas Melech. And Malka Rabbonim. So I'm going to get Chizik. We've got Bochum, Gedolim, Rabbonim. We have to know what's required, a tremendous bittel completely to them. That's the way the Torah wants the chinuch. Actually, you read out the whole chinuch. He writes the whole reason why Akshbuch wants it to be like that, why it's got to be like that, in order for the class to have its continuity. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.